3. Gnarhofern woke up with a headache. It took minutes to calm down. Performing the relevant pain management inside his head took far too much concentration for somebody feeling this bad to perform quickly. He felt like he was a child on a beach, swinging a toy spade and building a sea wall all around him as the tide rushed in. Waves kept overtopping, and he was constantly shoveling sand up to the small breaches in his defences. And the worst of it was, the more sand he piled up, the deeper he dug, and higher he had to throw. Eventually water just started seeping in from the bottom of his sea fort, and he gave in. He just blanketed all pain. If somebody started holding flames to his feet, or he jammed his fingers in a door, that'd just be too bad. He knew better than to shake his head, so he imagined shaking his head. He'd never had a hangover this bad. He tried opening one eye. It didn't seem too keen on cooperating. Try the other one. No, that one didn't want to face the world either. Very dark, like being wrapped up inside a big dark cloak, or some... He jerked, both eyes tore open, making both smart and water. He was looking at some sort of big screen in hollowed. Space, stars. He looked down, finding it difficult to move his head. He was held inside a large, very comfortable, but very secure chair. It was made of some sort of soft hide. It was half-reclined, and it smelled very pleasant. But it had big padded hoops that had clamped themselves over his forearms and his lower legs. A similar hide-covered bar looped over his lower abdomen. He tried moving his head again. It was held inside some sort of open-faced helmet, which felt like it was attached to the headrest of the chair. He looked to one side. Hide-covered walls, polished wood. A panel or screen, showing what looked like an abstract painting. It was an abstract painting, a famous one. He recognized it. Ceiling black, light studded, in front just the screen, floor carpeted. Looked much like the inside of a standard culture module so far. Very quiet. Not that that meant anything. He looked to his right. There were two more seats like his across the width of the cabin. It was probably a cabin, and this was almost certainly a 9 or 12-person module. He couldn't see behind to tell. The seat in the middle, the one nearer him, was occupied by a bulky, rather antique-looking drone, its flat-topped bulk resting on the cushion of the seat. People always said drones looked a bit like suitcases. But this one reminded Gnarhofern of an old-fashioned sledge. Somehow, it gave the impression that it was staring at the screen. Its aura field was flickering as though it was undergoing rapid mood changes. Mostly it displayed a mixture of grey, brown, and white. Frustration, displeasure, and anger. Not an encouraging combination. The seat on the far side of the cabin held a beautiful young woman, who looked just a little like Dejael Galion. Her nose was smaller, her eyes were the wrong colour, her hair was quite different. It was hard to tell whether her figure bore any resemblance to the other woman, because she was inside what looked like a jeweled spacesuit, a standardish culture hard suit, plated in platinum or silver, and liberally plastered in gems, that certainly glittered and flashed in the overhead lights, as though they were things like rubies, emeralds, diamonds, and so on. The suit's helmet, equally encrusted, rested on the arm of her seat. She wasn't shackled into place in the seat, he noticed. The girl bore on her face a frown so deep and severe. He imagined it would have made almost anybody else look quite supremely ugly. On her, it looked rather fetching. Probably not the desired effect at all. He decided to risk a smile. The open-faced helmet he was wearing ought to let her see it. "Hello," he said. The old drone rose and flicked round as if glancing at him. It thumped back into the seat cushion, its aura fields off. "It's hopeless," it announced, as though it hadn't heard what the man had said. "We are locked out. Nowhere to go." The girl in the far seat narrowed her fiercely blue eyes and glared at Gunnar Hofhoen. When she spoke, her voice was like an ice stiletto. "This is all your fault, you ghastly piece of shit," she said. Gunnar Hofhoen sighed. He was losing consciousness once more, but he didn't care. He had absolutely no idea who this creature was, but he liked her already. It went dark again.